1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm really looking forward to this morning's message, and again, it's one of those that I pray the Lord would enable me to give as I receive, because I was greatly encouraged by it, and I hope and pray that I can be an encouragement to you this morning as well. When David shows up on the scene, he's there because his father sent him. But when he shows up, he has Goliath railing at the Jews, at the Israelites. He finds his own brother Eliab slandering him. And he finds that his own king, King Saul, disbelieves in him. And yet David's response to all of these things, the railings of Goliath, the slanders of his brother, the disbelief of Saul, beloved, that proves something about the true quality of David's character. It really did. And it also proved those virtues which attributed to David being known as a man after God's own heart. You know, a lot of times we overlook certain things in Scripture which we ought not to overlook because they're vital for us to understand. And most of the time we'll jump right into the battle with Goliath and him casting the stone and killing Goliath. But these things that happened to David before he even went on the battlefield against Goliath are vital for us to understand. David proved himself to be a man after God's own heart by the way he carried himself in the midst of railings from enemies, slanders from his brother, and also from disbelief from his own King Saul. David had a quality of his character. He had virtues which enabled him to be that man after God's own heart. Because, beloved, for a man who fights for himself and for his own personal honor and glory, such personal attacks and slanderous remarks that David received would have created the greatest resentment and indignation. Most men, if they were fighting for themselves, would have just thrown it down and said, "Well, I'm going back home. Forget it, you face your own battles. You're going to slander my character? You're not going to believe that I can accomplish this? And all the railings of the enemies? That's enough for me. I'm just going to turn around and go back." Beloved, I'm afraid that many Christians are exactly in that position today. Because they've been slandered by their brethren, because they've heard the railings of the enemies of God, because they've heard the voices of disbelief from others, they've lost the courage and endurance and perseverance to continue on in the fight for Christ. We can't allow these things to hinder us if we know that we're fighting for the right cause. David maintained a spirit of humility and meekness which enabled him to remain focused on the cause. Is there not a cause? You can slander me. You can rail against me and my God as enemies. And you can disbelieve in my abilities. But there's a cause here. And David carried himself so wonderfully in the midst of all of these things. No resentment towards his brother. No anger or malice towards Saul. Indignation towards Goliath, of course. But he carried himself so wonderfully well as a godly man. Beloved, character plays a vital role in our Christian warfare, in our Christian life. And humility and meekness are just as essential and vital in the believer's spiritual battles as the whole armor of God. We can be courageous and fight the good fight in faith, but still possess that spirit of humility and meekness about ourselves in doing that. And David did. You could tell David wasn't fighting for his own cause. You can tell David wasn't fighting for his own honor and glory, his own benefit or pleasure. David was there because the cause he was fighting for and believed in was of the Lord. And that enabled him to be the man that he was. Beloved, being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, according to Ephesians chapter 6, being strong in the Lord and the power of His might, is to renounce any strength or power of our own. If I'm going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, I have to renounce any strength or power I think I might have of my own, while trusting in the Lord to gird me with His strength and make my way perfect, which means safe and prosperous. Then said David to the Philistine, we read that verse, and said David unto the Philistine in verse 45, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. In these things you place your trust, your confidence, and your strength. You're trusting in your abilities. But watch what he says about himself. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. He doesn't say, I'm bringing my rock and I'm a whole lot better slingshot sword than you are. He doesn't come up to Goliath and say, well, I beat the lion, I beat the bear, and now I'm going to beat you too by God's grace. He comes up and he said, this is why you're coming to me with your sword, your spirit, or your spear and your shield. That's your confidence. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. This is what I place my trust in. This is what I put my strength in. This is what I place my confidence in. My confidence, my strength, and my trust is solely in God alone. You see the difference? David's not fighting for himself. You know why a lot of Christians lose before the battle's even started? Because they're fighting for themselves. Their pleasures, their honor, their glory, their name. David carried himself so well before he even faced Goliath. His brother slanders him. Paul or Saul disbelieves him. And David still carries himself with wondrous godly virtues, meekness and humility. Doesn't allow himself to be taken off the course. Doesn't allow himself to be hindered by slanders, even from his own brother, or disbeliefs from his own king. David's got his heart fixed. He knows what he's doing. And he carries himself in a godly, wise manner. God give us Christians like that. Such are the heroic qualities which God greatly esteems, and which stems from a true knowledge and acquaintance with God. David had a true knowledge and acquaintance with God. For the people that do know their God, Daniel 11:32, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits, heroic acts. People that know their God shall be strong. That is, they'll possess the ability to stand boldly against all opposition and to continue steadfast in his profession. Nothing will move him. And beloved, this is so important in this day and age of wavering Christians. Christians who have sat by the wayside too long. And like Eli, who was actually trying to cover up his own cowardness by slandering David. Trying to cover up his own weakness by making David look bad or questioning David's motives and sincerity. And that's what a lot of Christians do. When they see other Christians seeking to advance further in their spiritual life, then you always have somebody on the sideline like Eli, who's been sitting there not doing much for God, but they've got a lot to say about you. What are you doing? You can't make it. You're too little. You're too small. You're too young. It's not going to work. But being strong in the Lord is being able to boldly stand against all opposition and to continue steadfast in one's profession, not succumbing to the pressures and influences which are around us. And most Christians today succumb to the pressures and influence around us. They allow people to persuade them. And when people slander them and hurt them and offend them, they become discouraged and they lose that ambition and that zeal to serve God. After delivering David out of the paws of the lion and the bear, God would have David meet the slanders and disbelief of others before facing Goliath. God wants to prove the sincerity of David's heart before he faces Goliath. Are you in this for the right reason? Are you sincere? Are your motives true and genuine? And I'm going to try you. You say you're a man of valor, a valiant man. You say you're a man after God's own heart. I'm going to prove you by your own brother's slanders and by the disbelief of your own King Saul. I'm going to prove you before you even step foot out in that battlefield against Goliath. I'm going to prove your heart to find out if you're sincere. Beloved, this is not an easy task. And yet, so many Christians fail right here. They beat by God's hand and grace the lions and the bears in their lives. Yet when they come to face the Goliaths, when God proves their sincerity and the motives of their hearts by allowing such things as this to take place, they suddenly lose courage, become resentful, and they become weak and faint-hearted. Oh, but this was not an easy task for David. Think about it. David's just simply, I want to do... He's a ruddy, young teenager. Probably still in his teens. He's not equipped for the battle, and yet David's wanting to do right, and everybody's trying to tell him he can't do right. You ever been there? You want to do right, and people saying you can't? I've never met so many pessimistic Christians before I came back to America. We're going to go door to door where you can. Why not? Don't work. We're going to evangelize in the paper. Well, it don't work. Well, we're going to reach out and do ministries outside. It won't work. Sometimes God will providentially allow those things to happen to prove the sincerity of our hearts. David had to face this battle with inside his own heart before he could face the battle with Goliath. Proverbs 16:32 says this. Listen, this is very wise. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Isn't that? He that is slow to anger. I won't get off of that. Proverbs also says, go away from an angry man. Don't waste time with an angry man. It doesn't work. He's blinded by his anger. But anyway, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Now watch this. And he that ruleth his spirit controls his compassion, his passions, controls emotions, is temperate, knows how to control himself. He that ruleth his spirit, than he that taketh the city. He's stronger than him that taketh the city. If we learn how to rule our spirits, control and conquer our passions, which rise up, and they do. I'm sure David had the temptation when Eliab said, oh, you're just prideful and you're arrogant and you just want to be out. I'm sure inside David he's going, wait a minute. And I'm sure the temptation was to rise up in resentment towards his brother, but he didn't do that. He said, what have I done? He controlled himself. He conquered his passions. God wants us to be able to do that before we're able to do anything greater for God. Learn how to control or rule your spirit. It was a greater battle to be fought before facing Goliath. One which has proved the sincerity of David's heart and assure his victory over Goliath, namely the ruling of his own spirit or the conquest of himself and his own unruly passions. He had to conquer himself before he could conquer Goliath. Why is that so? Well, a lot of times we start out well and our motives are sincere and we want to do something right, yet we don't realize that we haven't controlled ourselves first. This was Peter's problem. Remember when he said, oh, the others will forsake you. I never will. The Lord said, Peter, today you're gonna tonight you're gonna deny me three times. Three times. Not just once, but three times. Peter didn't know how to rule his own spirit. And because he couldn't rule his own spirit, he was led by his passions. A Christian led by his passions will always go in the wrong direction. We'll always end up doing the wrong thing. We cannot allow our passions to guide and direct us. We have to be able to rule them, subdue them, conquer them. And God wanted David to meet that battle first before he met Goliath. Otherwise, he'd have never defeated Goliath. You know why? He'd have got out on the field thinking, maybe Goliath's right.
maybe I'm not going to be able to make it. Things have been going through his mind. Saul was right. I should have took his armor. I don't know if I can do this. Eliab's right. Maybe I'm doing it for the wrong reason. And before long, he's concentrating on these things, and he's not able to throw the stone in the right direction to hit his mark. That's what happens to believers. They're persuaded by pressures and influences surrounding them, and they get out to the battle and they start questioning themselves. Beloved, I have been there, and it's a terrible place to be in when you start questioning yourself and your decisions. Did I do the right thing? Should I have done it that way? Maybe I could have done it different. And boy, the adversary jumps on that. Oh, he jumps on that. He'll just ride that horse until it's got us so confused and fearful. We're afraid to make any kind of decisions for Christ because we're afraid we're going to simply fail again. And beloved, I know pastors and Christians at this very moment that are living in that state of fear and wavering. They can't decide anything, even for their own selves. They're afraid that they're going to fall or fail again. And so their solution is to simply, like Eliab, stay to the sideline. And when they see somebody who wants to try something, oh, they're the first ones to bring it into question, bring it into doubt. You sure you're doing what God wants you to do? How do you know you're doing what's right? We've got to learn to face these battles first, because that's going to happen. Though David, by the hand of God, defeated the lion and the bear, he could never conquer Goliath until he learned to conquer himself first. The bear and the lion was in a solitary place. It was just him and the bear and the lion watching the sheep. This was a bigger battle. This was a greater cause here. And God would prove the sincerity of David's heart, because our adversary knows all too well that when once our spirits have been broken, and discouragement and doubt fills our hearts, the battle for the believer has already been lost. And our adversary knows that. He breaks our spirit before we even start. And again, I know, and I've been there, you've probably been there yourself, I've felt this same temptation. It has happened to me, just as anybody who tries to live for God. But I know Christians and I know pastors at this very moment, their spirits are so broken, they're afraid to try anything for God. And our adversary knows that. Break your spirit. Break your willpower. Make you start doubting yourself. And you'll never do anything for God. God didn't want David out there on that battlefield facing Goliath as Goliath is charging towards him with his sword, having doubts in his mind whether David's going to be able to finish this battle or not. God says, I want you to be well assured in your heart. When you step out into that valley, that ravine, and face Goliath, I want you to know in your heart that you're going to win. You're going to be victorious. You're going to conquer because of me. I want you to be assured of that. I don't want no doubts in your mind. Because he whose heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord, shall not be afraid of evil tidings. That's what Psalms 112 says. Listen to that. He whose heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord, shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Evil tidings. Not be afraid of them. Can't do it. It won't work. Not enough people. We've tried it already. It's tradition. The world's just in perilous times. Nothing's going to happen. Churches are cold. Churches are dead. They're too small. Evangelism don't work. Those are evil tidings. David didn't listen to those things. And I'm sure if David was the man that the Bible declares him to believe, just to be, I believe in some of Eliab's slandering remarks, David probably in his heart said there's partial truth in that. Because there's partial truth in every criticism. I'm sure David said, well, I hope it's not because of my pride I'm here. Not that I don't have a problem with pride. I'm sure David examined his own heart. But he didn't allow himself to be swayed. He wasn't afraid of evil tidings. It goes on in Psalm 112 to say, his heart is established. He should not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. Listen to that. His heart is established. God wanted David's heart to be established in his cause. Why? So that he wouldn't be afraid when David comes bearing down on him. Now, I want you to put yourself, or try to put yourself, in David's place. He's a ruddy little youth. And we'll see that here in closing in a few minutes. But David has absolutely no armor. None at all. He's got a slingshot and a shepherd's stick.
And you look across that ravine, and here's this mighty man of valor from his youth. He's got this helmet on. He's got this bodysuit on. He's so big a guy, he's running in front of him with a shield. A whole body shield. And Goliath has got that sword that just fits his side. And he's charging towards David. And I'm sure that armor's going clank, 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 clank. And here's little old ruddy David. This is not the time for David to have doubts whether he can beat Goliath or not. You follow my train of thought? God wanted his heart to be established so that when he's seen that enemy approaching him, David could concentrate on that one little space, that one little open mark that he could hit and defeat Goliath. If he was off by even a half an inch, if not less, he'd miss his goal and David would be dead. He had to hit the first time, but he couldn't do it if his heart and mind was doubting whether he's able to do it or not. So you bring in the slanders, you bring in the disbelief, you bring in the railings. And God says, is your heart sincere? Is your heart established? Is this truly what you believe God wants you to do? Beloved, this is a rare place for believers to be in today. God would use all of these things to establish David's heart and to prove his sincerity. I've said this before, but you know what makes a good soldier? I'm not belittling the armor of God because we need that, Ephesians chapter 6. But what makes a good soldier is not what's in the armor, but what's in the soldier. That's why Ephesians says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. That's how it starts. Then it goes on to the armor. We can have the whole armor of God, yet if we haven't learned to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, we'll never be able to yield or wield that sword the way we ought to. We're not going to have confidence, even in the armor of God. God knew that. I like what an old Puritan says, and I'll wind this down and show you one more thing. He said this, and this is a good quote. It is better to test a person's boldness by his sincerity. Test his boldness by his sincerity than his sincerity by his boldness. Amen? It's a big difference. Test his boldness by sincerity, not his sincerity by his boldness. Is he sincere? Is his motives right? And all these things God used to prepare David to meet Goliath. And that led David to make an amazing decision. Look at verse 38 and 39. I'll try to bring this here to close in a few minutes. And Saul armed David. Well, first of all, in 37, at the end of the 37, and Saul said unto David, go and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he swayed to go. He started to go. That's what that means. So here's David, who's smaller than Saul, I'm sure. And David's got Saul's armor on, fit for him. They made the armor fit for the soldier. So here's David with Saul's armor, and I'm sure it's a little bit big on David. And David, you know, David at first didn't deny or reject Saul's offer. David didn't immediately say, oh, I don't need that, I'm going to... David wasn't a prideful man. David says, okay, I'll try it. I'll try it. Let me put it on. So he put it on, and David swayed to go. He tried to go. He proved to try it out a little bit. He said, ah, this isn't going to work. He said, I have not proved them. And David put them off of him. Again, you see the character of David? You see his humility and meekness with Saul? He didn't say, oh, Saul, I don't need that. I can go out and get him with this rock, man. He said, okay, I'll try it. You're the king. I know you mean well. I put it on. It didn't work. Beloved, you can't fight with another man's armor. You follow me? Grace Baptist Church can't photocopy a church from Dallas or San Antonio, Elmendorf, or anybody else. You can't fight your spiritual battles with somebody else's armor. You've got to use what God's given you. And it might be totally contrary to what they're used to using. You follow my train of thought? Here's David saying, I tried it. I'm sorry, Saul, it didn't work. I'm going to use what I've proved. I've proved the slingshot and the rock. I know how to use that. And this is what's amazing, because this had never been done before. Here's all these Israelites. I mean, You know, they got armor from head to toe. And they've been fighting for 40 days. Armed from head to toe. And suddenly this little old ruddy David walks out there, probably got a sheepskin around himself, probably no shirt, it's something, maybe a small one. He goes out with a shepherd's staff and a slingshot over his shoulders, and all these soldiers are going, let me see, there's David. Dressed in sheepskin, a stick, a slingshot. And across the ravine, there's Goliath, probably 8-9 feet tall, dressed in full armor, so much armor, so big, he's got a man carrying his shield and a sword that's bigger than David. That don't look like it's going to fare too well for David, is what common sense would say, wouldn't it? It ain't going to work. David said, it'll work. I've tried this. Don't let anybody tell you it's not going to work simply because it didn't work for them. It all depends on if God's in it. You see, their armor didn't help them 40 days. So why would it help David? It's not going to work for you. We've tried that program. It doesn't work. Well, maybe it didn't work for you. It might work for us. You follow me? Don't try to fight your spiritual battles with somebody else's armor. Use what God's given you. You've got graces and virtues God's given you that He's allowed you to try and prove. Use that. Be yourself as God has created you and made you. Be yourself. Don't try to be somebody else. Don't try to be a Spurgeon. Don't try to walk in somebody else's shadow. Be yourself. Be the person God's made you. Use the gifts God's given you, the ones you've proved and tried. Use those and God blesses that. Others might look at that and say, well, it didn't work for me. Well, it might not have worked for you, but it will work for me if God is in it. David tried it. He was humble enough to try it, and it didn't work. So he humbly refused it. Can you imagine what Saul thought as David took that armor off, picked up his stick, picked up his slingshot, started walking towards the ravine. It said in the brook he picked those rocks out. So he walked towards the ravine, and all the Israelite soldiers are standing there looking. Here's David looking through the rocks by the ravine, dried up river. Said, there's one good size. Put it in his bag. Walked over here, looked around. Goliath, I'm sure, was sitting on the other side saying, what in the world have they been on? He said, sitting over there picking that rock up. Picked another one up. Got five of them in his pouch. Took one out, put it in a sling. Started walking towards Goliath. Goliath was mad. I can't believe you're sitting here ready here. And that's a disgrace to me. You couldn't even send a man out to me. Beloved, if God is in something, the world will look at that and say, there's no way that can work. But if God's in it, the impossible can be done. They didn't think that they crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. God, Moses stretched out his stick, Red Sea departed, and they walked on dry ground. God does miracles in and through those who believe that God can still do miracles. And it might appear to the world and the religious hypocrite as being an impossible thing. But yet if God's in it, it'll work. It'll prosper. David knew that. David, we all know how the story ends up. David did end up defeating Goliath with one stone. Buried that sucker right in the forehead. David fell like a rock himself. David went up, took the sword out of his hand, cut his head off. Said he carried that head to Saul and just threw it in the tent. Threw it at Saul's feet and said, there he is. Well, I'm telling you, the Israelites kind of looked at that. They didn't look at David and say, oh man. Eliab, I'm sure, changed his mind after that about David. The Israelites were on the warpath then, chased the Philistines and destroyed them. David destroyed Goliath because David's heart was established and fixed. He was able to stand against the slanders of his brother, the disbelief of King Saul, and the railings of the enemy. He conquered himself before he conquered Goliath. And when he did, dearly beloved, he brought great victory to Israel and to himself. And most of all, to his God. that all the earth shall see the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. The battle is the Lord's. Who got the glory at the end of this battle? It wasn't David. He didn't put a star in his lapel. He didn't go around all Israel saying, look how brave and bold I was. Look how good I was. David said, the glory belongs to God. And if that happens to us and God gives us victory, if our hearts are established and fixed, we'll say, we receive no glory for this. The battle's the Lord's. All the glory goes to God. May God give us grace to follow David. He carried himself well. God tested him first. Put him to battle against himself before he'd face Goliath, so that he could be assured of Goliath. May God give us grace not to listen to those influences and pressures around us. Our hearts be fixed and established in the Lord, because then He'll give us wisdom to fight the battle according to His wishes. And it might be totally contrary to what everybody else thinks is right. But God will prove Himself true. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for what we've been able to learn, I pray, from David. And I pray that, God, we continue to meditate upon these things throughout the day, throughout the week. And, Father, that You would help us. And, Lord, our hearts would be fixed and established. We'd not be afraid of evil tidings. And, Lord, we'd not rest until our desire is seen upon our enemies. Lord, help us, Lord, to possess the same spirit of humility and meekness and godly character and virtue that David had. Lord, when we hear the voice of slandering and railings and disbelief, I pray that, God, You help us to turn a deaf ear to them, that we might turn our hearts and our ears to Thee. And Lord, help us to use those things You've given us, the things we've tried and proven, the things we know to be true of Thee. We pray that, God, You'd establish us and help us here at Coleman. Use us as a light in this community, Father, that, Lord, we might be able to spread the gospel to those that are yet lost in sin. We pray that, God, You'd help us throughout this week. Be with us now, we pray. Be with our dear sister Aveda. Lord, help her and stand by her. And Sister Patty, Lord, this dear lady with cancer, we pray that, God, You would use this to show her need of Christ. Lord, glorify Yourself. We pray now, God, that You would be with us throughout this week. We pray that You'd be with our fellowship dinner. Bless the food we're about to partake of to the nourishment of our body. We pray that You'd be honored and glorified in all that we say and do. In Christ's name, we pray.